Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, show number 4, Friday, October 11th, 2013.
So I stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better now. We can break it down.
Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu is pleased to present Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni.
Welcome to Finding Your Voice. This is DJ Noni, and I'm looking forward to sharing a treasure trove of life wisdom and insight on a variety of topics that'll spark your thinking and help you define your purpose, all of which is meant to encourage you to reach your highest potential. Life, we can do this thing on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, right here on radio.dominican.edu. Come on in, let's talk. Starting off with gratefulness is always at the top of my list. What are you grateful for in your life today? Let's take a moment now to notice what is good and going well, and to notice what we're grateful for. And of course, let's breathe. I thought that as I talk about what I'm grateful for, that I'd review a few of the things that I've been grateful for in the past few weeks. And they are family, feelings, and love. I thought it was nice to look back on that and see what I've just kind of collect the data of what I've been grateful for. And I was giving some thought to what I wanted to talk about today, and I realized what it is. Today, I am grateful for the men in my life. And those men are my husband, my brother, my father, and my work colleagues. And work colleagues, you know who you are. I feel supported, respected, loved, and cared for by these men. They're there for me when I need them. They step back when I ask for space. They collaborate with me when we have ideas to share. They persevere with me when times are rough. And they laugh with me, and sometimes at me, when we need to lighten up. I really, really love our connection to one another, whether it's in person or from afar over the phone. And I would not want to do life at all without these tremendously wonderful and important men there for me. I need to breathe. There are many folks in my life that I'm grateful for, but today I want to specifically say thank you to these men in my life for how they have and continue to make my life great. Thank you. And here's my question for you, listeners. Do you have a man in your life that you are grateful for? Whether you're male or female, I hope that you too have a man or men in your life that you can look up to, depend on, share a laugh with, and so on. For all of us, male friendships and relationships are so very valuable. I am grateful for men, and specifically the men in my life. It's great. It's nice to be grateful, and it's nice to notice that there are things to be grateful for. Okay, let's see what our angel messages and power thought cards have to say today. And as we get into that, here's a little tidbit as I shake and shuffle our decks. So the angel messages and power thought cards are, in another word, affirmations. They're positive sayings that are exercises for the mind, let's say. And since we do regular exercises for our physical body, we might as well give our brain a workout too, right? And I was looking at this, and it shows that studies have shown that negative thoughts can become self-fulfilling. Therefore, the opposite must be true. Positive thoughts must be able to become self-fulfilling as well. That's what I would think. And so I looked it up, and I found that researchers at Northwestern State University in Louisiana, one of many sets of researchers that have been doing this research, they've found that people who used positive affirmations for a 2-week period experienced higher self-esteem at the end of the 2 weeks than at the beginning. And I like this kind of thing because it's always nice to get a little background information to help keep our feet solidly on the ground. It's not this airy-fairy thing. For me, affirmations are not about perfection and airy-fairiness, but they're about gently readjusting my thoughts to help me see things in general more clearly or to achieve goals and dreams that may have been elusive in my life thus far. And let me just say this to you, as with everything that I share with you, please, please feel free to toss what doesn't work and use what you like the best. So if affirmations are working for you and you like what I have to deliver here, use it. And if it isn't working for you, toss it and just go on to the next thing. It's all up to you. Completely and absolutely up to you. I trust that you know what works for you. Okay, all right. Let's see what our angel message has in store for us today. So I've got my little box. I'm shaking it. Boop-a-doop-a-doo. And I am mixing it up. Putting my hand in, picking a card, and I'm bringing it up so I can see it, and it says, creativity, creativity, that's our angel message. I'm at a blank. Isn't that interesting? I got a little scared when I got creativity. Let me think about creativity for a minute. I'm going to have to hold on to that. There's a lot bubbling up around creativity. So I'm going to grab my power thought cards and I'm going to see if we can what we get on that. I'm going to shuffle them. Okay, let's see what we have here. Move them around. And I'm going to cut them in half, take the top card, pull it out. This is a green card. The cards are square, by the way. And this design is much more linear than past designs where they've been swirly. This one has squares and lines, and it has different colored squares, peach, red, white, and then there's some trees with purple outline on it, and a sun. It looks like it was written, the sun is drawn in chalk. And this card says, I claim my own power. And I lovingly create my own reality. I'm so glad I held on to that angel message of creativity and didn't talk about it yet until I got this power thought card. Wow. Let me read this again. I claim my own power and I lovingly create my own reality. So much to say about that. Let's read the affirmation on the other side. And this says, I ask for more understanding so that I may knowingly and lovingly shape my world and my experiences. Okay, I have a lot to say about this. I am in a period of my life where I am starting to bloom in new places that I've wanted to bloom forever and that I wasn't sure would ever come. And for a long time, I thought I was boring and uncreative and didn't have anything to offer. And all of a sudden, recently, in the last few years, lots of things have been bubbling up and I've been gaining new knowledge. That's my Dominican University experience. I've been gaining new knowledge out there in the world. I have grown up. With every year I'm on the planet, I'm learning new things in the school of life, and I'm accumulating, how would you say it? I'm accumulating the everything. It's like data accumulation, I guess. I am accumulating all of the data of my life. Can you see that this is hard for me to wrap my brain around? I have been collecting for all these years of my life experiences and information, and it has felt haphazard and incomplete. And at times I've felt sad because I have felt like I don't have a direction or a purpose. But what I've understood now is that the journey is the process, and all of those experiences are equaling what the fruits of my labor are delivering to me now, and the fruits of the seeds that I've planted. I'm blooming now, as I was saying before. So creativity is incredibly valuable and resident in my life at this moment, and creating my own reality is valuable and resident in my life right now. And I say this to my fellow students and my fellow colleagues, that if there's something that you want, figure out how you can create it and start to make it happen. Just bring little pieces in. And so I really believe that, and I want to embody that myself. And that's a lot where these positive affirmations come in. If I'm thinking positively and pointing myself in the direction, I can create my own reality. So there. It was a rambling way to get to the place where I can be creative, I am creative, I want to be creative, and I can create my own reality. And I trust that lots of information will be delivered to me to help me create my own reality and be creative. So there. Thank you for listening to that. It was a little stream of consciousness and a little bumpy to get there, but I really appreciate that you're out there listening. And I want you to know that the road to success is not always a straight trajectory, that from here to there, there are lots of twists and turns and U-turns and switchbacks and, you know, some straight and narrow areas, but it can be a long and meandering road, but you can get there, and success is both the journey and the destination, and you can be creative on how you get there. All right, I need to take a breath on that one. How about you? All right, let's do that. Let's take a breath. And I'll tell you, just for fun, let's take another breath. That's great. Just get our feet on the ground from there. Creativity and creating our own reality. Well, let's take a little break together. I'll find a piece of music that's appropriate for creativity and creating our own reality. And we'll be right back, right here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu.
I'm on my way from misery to happiness to be. From misery to happiness to be. I'm on my way to what I want from this world. And years from now, you'll make it to the next world. And everything that you receive up yonder is what you give to me the day I wonder. I took a right turning yesterday.
I have a joy. from misery to happiness to me.
The following is a public service announcement. Saturday, October 12th is Community Service Day here at Dominican University of California. As part of Community Service Day, Dominican students Sarah Purcell and Nicholas Garcia are conducting a Trash Awareness Day. All day on Saturday, October 12th, wherever you are, and especially on campus, please find a piece of trash and dispose of it in the proper bin. All it takes is picking up one piece of trash to make a difference on our campus and the greater Marin County. Recycling one aluminum can saves enough energy to run a TV for 3 hours, or the equivalent of half a gallon of gasoline. And the energy saved from recycling one glass bottle can run a compact fluorescent bulb for 20 hours. Small efforts make a big difference. Participate in Dominican University of California's Community Service Trash Awareness Day on Saturday, October 12th.
Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Finding your voice with DJ Noni.
Welcome back. This is DJ Noni. And earlier I was talking about the men in my life. I just want to put out there to the universe that there's an important man that passed away recently, and this was a man that was important in all of our lives. And this is a little piece that Scott Carpenter, the second American to orbit the Earth, passed away. He died in a Denver hospice of complications from a September stroke, and he lived in Vail, Colorado. Scott Carpenter followed John Glenn into orbit, and it was Carpenter who gave him the historic send-off, "Godspeed, John Glenn." The two were the last survivors of the famed original Mercury 7 astronauts from the Right Stuff days of the early 1960s, and Glenn is the only one left alive now. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden said Thursday that Carpenter was in the vanguard of our space program, the pioneers who set the tone for our nation's pioneering efforts beyond Earth and accomplished so much for our nation. We will miss his passion, his talent, and his lifelong commitment to exploration. And DJ Noni says, "Godspeed, Scott Carpenter, a good man in all of our lives." Well, upcoming today on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu, I am going to be interviewing Todd Harriet from our Disability Services offices here at Dominican University. I'm going to call him on the phone, and he's going to talk to us about how he got into his work, what's happening here in the department, and about a few other things, including upcoming events that Dominican is hosting. So we'll look forward to hearing from Todd in a few minutes coming up. And I also wanted to let you know that we are going to miss Raya Cole and Mr. Todd today. We're having an academic holiday coming up, and it's also midterms. So some of the DJs will be in and out as needed for the mid-semester. So we're going to miss Raya Cole and Mr. Todd, but they will be back here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni with their segments Above Ground Bay Area. That's Raya Cole, and It's a Man's World, DJ Todd. And then I also wanted to let you know that even though it is an academic holiday, many of our Penguin Radio DJs will be hosting their shows this coming week. And I wanted to give you a rundown of all the DJs and their shows. And I also wanted to remind you that if you miss a show of your favorite DJ, you can go on to radio.dominican.edu and go to our podcast page. So let's give a rundown. I'm going to go from Mondays through Fridays, and you just get to hear about everyone. So first on our roster, the first one out of the gate on Mondays is DJ Desert Rose. Her show is called Drawing the Line. She's on Mondays, 1 to 2 p.m. Her show is about advice. She is really hard-hitting, and she's quick and smart, and she'll tell you like it is. So you'll really enjoy Desert Rose and her show Drawing the Line, Mondays, 1 to 2 p.m. Then right after her, at from 2 to 3, DJ May is on. Her show is The Seed. That's S-E-E-D. And that's Mondays, 2 to 3 p.m. DJ May on her show, The Seed, is talking about all kinds of very interesting intellectual thinking and thoughts and some esoteric things that are happening out there in the world. She wants to plant the seed in your mind for good thinking and grassroots acting. So you'll be really interested to hear her show. And right after The Seed is Afternoons with Harley D. And that's Mondays, 3 to 4 p.m. Now, Harley D, she is a pistol. She'll just talk a mile a minute, and you're going to just get inundated in a positive way with all of your needs for entertainment news. And she'll tell you like it is also, and she'll tell you who she loves and who she doesn't and who's doing what to who. It's a wonderful and fun show with Harley D. So that's Afternoons with Harley D on Mondays, 3 to 4 p.m. on radio.dominican.edu. Okay, let's see. The next day, Tuesdays, we have two great shows on Tuesdays. From 11 to noon, we have DJ B-Dell, and his show is Niners Live. His show is Everything Niners. Now, I have to let you all know, I happen to have tickets to the upcoming Niners-Arizona Cardinals game this Sunday. I have promised B-Dell that I will give him a report, of, you know, an in-person report, and B, I'll bring photographs. So he's really looking forward to that. So that's DJ B-Dell, Niners Live, Tuesdays, 11 a.m. to noon. Okay, and then right after that, after you get all of those stats and information about Niners, you just downshift or upshift, depending on how you like the music, into Smash Beats Radio. That's with DJ Blitz and DJ Smooth. Tuesdays, noon to 2. And what Blitz and Smooth are doing is they are bringing you their favorite music, and they're turning you onto it. They're telling you what they like, but they're also telling you what they don't like, and they're doing a little competition between each other to see, you know, whose music can turn the listener on, you know, higher, so to speak. So they are really having a lot of fun with that. That's Tuesdays, noon to 2, Smash Beats Radio. Okay, now what's up next? What do we have? Oh, on the schedule, this is a fun one. Can you imagine this? On Wednesdays, 9 a.m. in the morning, 9 to 10, is the metal hour. And that's with The Beard. 9 a.m., heavy metal on radio.dominican.edu. And when he is on, it is so fun to hear him saying how great it is to be listening to metal in the morning. If you're a metalhead, you're going to love it. And if you're just learning about metal, you're going to love it because he gives you all the historical background of the songs. He tells you who's playing on what song, where they're playing in the Bay Area or around the world. It's a very interesting, very, very interesting show. And he also talks a little bit about his own history with music. He's a musician and plays music and works in the music industry. So it's really fun to listen to him. So that's Wednesdays, 9 to 10 a.m., the Metal Hour with The Beard. And yes, he does have a beard. Okay, also on Wednesdays, Wednesdays is our big lineup. Wednesdays and Fridays are actually our big lineup. So second show on Wednesdays is The Sauce. Get Lost in the Sauce with DJ 9-1. That's 3 to 4 p.m. His show is just about everything, relationships, current events, who you are, how you are, and he just kind of mixes it up. So he just wants to throw it out there, and like his slogan says, get lost in the sauce. And DJ 9-1, he's just got a great personality and he's very authentic. One of the things that I really love about him is he's very authentic. And then right after DJ 9-1 is Lady Boss, and her show is called Real Talk. And she's on Wednesdays, 3 to 4. And her show is pretty hard hitting. She talks about a lot of topics on her show, current events, current things that are going on, advice, but she really talks in depth about sexuality. and not just one sexuality, but the rainbow of the different kinds of sexuality and how people identify with themselves. And then she also talks about relationships and how that interacts with sexuality. So it's very fascinating, very deep, and but also very fun and funny as well. And I just love listening to Lady Boss's show, Real Talk, Wednesdays, 3 to 4 p.m. And then right after that, well, not right after that, actually, you get a little bit of a break. And sometimes there's some, we've got sports, you know, we have volleyball, we have soccer going on right now. And then we have our Institute for Leadership Studies shows that are lectures that are going on. So sometimes you'll get that in between. And then at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, DJ Jules. And her show is Jules on the Field. And her show logo on radio.dominican.edu website is really very clever. It's a soccer field, and there's a big diamond, a jewel, on the field. But it's also a play on words because it's Jules on the Field, meaning talking about the field. So I liked her little play on words. And Jules is actually a foreign exchange student. She's from Germany. And it's really interesting to get her perspective on Dominican sports and American sports. And then she also talks a little bit about world sports as well. So it's a lot of fun to listen to her. And that's our Wednesdays. So then we've got a couple shows on Thursdays, which are great, of course. DJ Chops and DJ Ty, their show is Sports Relative, Thursdays 4 to 6. And what they're talking about is every sport that you can imagine. They're talking stats, but they're also talking personalities, and they go through baseball and football and everything in between. They have a really great segment called Trash or Truth, where they discuss a topic and they decide whether it's right or wrong or trash or truth, and they go back and forth. So they have some good discussions about that. Yesterday they were talking about the A's because the A's played yesterday and unfortunately lost. So they've got some good things to talk about out there with sports. And then, of course, an old standby, which is a great show to listen to on Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m., Tinsel Talk. That's with DJ LC. She is a hoot. She just goes for it and tells you everything about the entertainment industry, TV, movies, what she likes, what she doesn't like, again, who's doing who and all of that. And she has a sense of humor that just is off the charts. So it's really fun. Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. with DJ LC. And then you've got Friday. Friday is another big day. First thing in the morning, DJ Oz, Pro Track Central. That's a great show. DJ Oz is a boxer. He's also a martial arts teacher of young children. He also has kids in sports. So he kind of has a conglomeration of sports information. So he's really interesting to listen to. And he also talks about relationships and how they work in sports. So that's a good one to tune into. And of course, tune in on Fridays, 12:30 to 1 p.m., for our very own Penguin Press Pass, Real Students, Real News. This is put on by the DJs of Penguin Radio, and DJ Oz came up with a great slogan. It's not fluff, it's hard-hitting stuff. The DJs read through the news, they comb through the news all week, and then they write their own articles, and then they get on the air, and they talk about world news, politics, national news, sports, everything that you can think of, diversity, health and fitness. It's a really great show. And of course, all of these shows that I'm talking about are podcasted on radio.dominican.edu. So you can go at your leisure and listen to past shows. That's great. We have a returning show on Thursdays. I forgot to mention this on Thursdays. We have a returning show, The Tailgate, with Beal and Hornstein. And that's 9 to 10 on Thursdays. And they're talking all sports. They're very intense with their sports and very hard hitting with their sports. So tune into Tailgate on Thursdays, 9 to 10. That's after Elsie's Tinsel Talk. And then continuing on Fridays, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, 2 to 4, you know me. We've got a couple of great shows on Friday nights. We're developing an Italian music hour. That's going to be 6 p.m. That's in a couple weeks. Tonight is going to be the first show of Catching a Wave, and that's with DJ Maka, Catching a Wave with DJ Maka, Hawaiian music from the Hawaiian Islands. It's traditional and contemporary Friday, 7 to 8 p.m. Tune in for that. And then we've brought back, right after that, Music Central with DJ King. And he is going all over the map this semester. He's got Led Zeppelin. He's got 50s. He's got esoteric out there. Tonight, he's got just a really ethereal music mix. So tune in for DJ King Fridays, 8 to 9 p.m. And then, of course, like I said, you've got sports galore, and you've got ILS, and you've got other religious podcasts. It's fantastic. So our programming is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So I'm really pleased that we have such great programming this year. And I want you all to tune in every day, all day. Pick a show that you love and listen to it. Give us feedback. If you want to go to radio.dominican.edu and click on our contact link, let us know what you're listening to. Let us know what you want to listen to. And of course, go and get the podcast so you can listen back again and again to your favorite shows. So that's a nice rundown of what we have going on. I think what I'm going to do is take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to call Todd Harriet of Disability Services and get him on the line and do a little bit of an interview. So let's just take a rest, and I'll be back with Todd Harriet of Disability Services. This is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu.
Are you looking to brush up your interview skills or learn how to use Skype as an interview tool? Well then, Dominican University of California's Career and Internship Services Department has a program for you. They're putting on an interviewing skills and Skype workshop. It's coming up Wednesday, October 16th, 4:30 p.m. in Guzman Hall. At this workshop, you can learn various techniques and meet a Skype interviewing expert to ace that interview. Whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, you can always use a brush up on interviewing skills. Remember, Wednesday, October 16th, 4:30 p.m., Guzman Hall. For more information or to reserve a space, call 415-485-3235. That's 415-485-3235. You can also look it all up on the internet at Dominican University of California Campus Life Career Services.
Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Finding your voice is DJ Noni.
Okay, welcome back. This is DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu. And I think it's time that we dial Todd Harriet of Disability Services. So I'm going to dial him in and let's see if we can get him on the line. All right, so I'm here with Todd Harriet of Dominican University of California, and we're going to see if I can get his levels up. How are you doing today, Todd?
Doing pretty good. I'm grateful that it's a Friday, though.
Everyone's grateful that it's Friday right now.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, so Todd, tell me what department you are with. Let's give some credibility to you here at Dominican University of California. Tell me what your title is and your department.
Sure. I am the Director of Disability Services, and I am one officer that is part of the larger Academic Advising and Achievement Center. We're located in Bertrand 109. In terms of my position and what I do here, I work with any student on campus who has some form of a diagnosis that may impact their ability to function or learn in the classroom, or maybe in terms of physical space, they may need some form of accommodation, either in the residence halls or what type of rooms they have. Right now, I work with about 235 students, approximately. 11.5% of the total student population here on campus.
Okay, that's a good number.
So pretty healthy size of number of people I work with, yes.
And disability has a very wide definition, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Can you give our listeners a feeling for what disability would mean to you or to the students?
Sure. So basically, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for some form of an actual diagnosis. And many people have the assumption that I only work with students who have a learning disorder or who maybe are a wheelchair user or something like that. I work with students who have mental and emotional health disorders. I work with students who have health and systemic disorders. So those would be things like I have some students with fibromyalgia. I have students who have severe arthritis. I have students who have severe diabetes. I also work with students who have who've experienced a traumatic brain injury in the past. I work with students who have neurologic difficulties. I work with students who are on the spectrum, the autism, Asperger spectrum. I also work with students who have attentional issues, ADD, ADHD, students clearly with learning disorders, also students who have sensory disorders like they may be blind or have low vision, or they may be deaf or hard of hearing. So it's a pretty wide range. What's interesting is the number of students who only after the fact realize, oh, I could have actually registered with the office and it would have been really helpful for me.
I would imagine that someone who needs help would know that they need help and they would come to you. But are there some people out there who may have a disability, but they have been coping for so many years with it that they don't consider it a disability anymore?
That is kind of the case for a number of students. I think as they're looking at it, they may or may not have had a good experience in the K-12 system that they came from. And so they may be thinking that it's going to be just like in high school and I don't want to experience that all over again. And so they decide that they just want to try and handle it all on their own. What's unfortunate about that is if a student really does need the assistance, those students who need the assistance but choose not to get associated with the office right away are 10 times more likely to drop out than the average student here on campus. They also tend to see their grades really, really drop, even from those from their high school time. But students who are actively working with my office and working with their accommodations, those students graduate at the same rate as everyone else on campus. They also have a slightly higher GPA than other students on campus, which actually is just, you know, sentiment of the fact that, for, particularly with students who have learning disorders, to have a learning disorder, you have to have average or above average intelligence. So I work with a lot of very, very bright students.
That is an interesting little piece of information right there. And sometimes when you are so focused on doing well that you put in the extra work just to make sure.
Yeah.
Now, many of the disabilities that you talked about are many of them genetic or very long-term disabilities. There may be people who may have a recent injury or something physical that happened to them. That's also a disability, correct?
It's considered a short-term disability.
Short-term.
And I do definitely work with those students. I have 3 students so far this semester that I've been working with to try and help them out, that all the sustained injuries to our athletics department. I don't think that's any reflection of our athletics department. It's just how it is if you're in sport.
Interesting.
And so I'm working with them, and I've been able to arrange for temporary accommodations for them, help them in terms of negotiating with their faculty around assignments, making sure they have appropriate support so they can complete work on time for their faculty members. So certainly, yes, we do work with a number of students who may not be in need of services full-time, but for whom having access to those services makes it a big difference.
Now, are there some students that may sign up for disability services, and then once they're in and maybe they've used 1 or 2 semesters worth of services, they realize that they're not needing as much as they thought they might, but they're still signed up? How does that work, and does that ever happen with students?
Sure. When students first come in, I have an intake with them, and basically I've looked over the documentation already that they submitted, and then I try and get a more clear picture of what's going on for them and what their experience is. And I oftentimes will tell students that, you know, if it was as simple as, oh, you have diagnosis X, that means you get the blue color folder of accommodations, then they really wouldn't need me. A monkey could do that kind of job. instead, what I try and really work with students around is understanding what their personal experience of their diagnosis is, so that I'm not making assumptions about how they're reacting to things or how things are going for them. Mm. And then out of that conversation, we make some determinations of what kind of accommodations might make the most sense, particularly if they've used accommodations in the past. We'll use that as sort of a foundation, a stepping stone from which to start. And then I ask students to meet with me at least once a semester so we can fill out new accommodation forms. So they fill out a separate accommodation form for each of their classes. And the reason for this is that the accommodations you may need in one class may not be what you need in another class. And so I want to have the flexibility of making sure that the accommodations speak to the environment the student is moving into. I always tell students, you know, as you're going through your semester, as, you know, we're kind of working this out in the beginning, if the accommodations really aren't working or if you really don't think you need all of these things, let me know. That's totally fine. No student has to use their accommodation. It's entirely up to them. But I want to make sure that, you know, we're accurately and appropriately supporting them as they need it.
And right. It's not cookie cutter at all.
No, not at all. If it was as simple as cookie cutter, I probably wouldn't need to be in my position. Mm-hmm. We really do try and make sure that we're speaking to the specific needs of the student, and not just making some assumptions about, well, other students who have this diagnosis seem to need X, Y, or Z. My preference is that we actually work with the student to make sure that we're supporting them in their place and how they're actually functioning right now.
And you are not in a position that is meant to be diagnosing students, but there is a certain diagnostic manner in which you have to approach conversing with your student to understand what their needs are based on what their doctors or medical professionals have helped them find their diagnosis in. So you are doing a diagnostic, but not for the actual disability.
Correct. What I find really interesting is the number of students who have a diagnosis but have never had that diagnosis explained to them. And so they've gone for years in their life knowing, oh yeah, I think I have some kind of a learning disorder, but they don't know what that learning disorder means or even what the diagnosis means. And in fact, they probably have not even seen their own documentation. So some of what I also do is I walk through with students around, okay, so this is what the diagnosis is, this is what it typically would mean, and I help them kind of understand, oh, so that's why I do X, Y, or Z. So it is a kind of a diagnostic tool of interviewing students, trying to figure out what exactly they need and how to best support them, particularly here on Dominican campus.
Well, I really feel like we have the best person in the position for that. I've known you for a couple of years now, and I watch how you interact with the students, and I have personal experience with working with you, and I see you doing what you do, and you do it very well, and we're so lucky to have you.
Well, thank you very much. I'm blushing, and I know people can't necessarily see that on radio, but I am blushing.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, so now we are in the middle of the semester, and it's at midterms. You've got people dialed into what their needs are and what their accommodations are, if they need extra time on exam or if they need note takers or if they need more time with their professor before or after their classes. What is happening in your office during midterm? Is that busy time for you? So what's happening?
Lots is happening in my office. Just in terms of disability services, so far this semester, I've already arranged for and coordinated and proctored 105 exams.
Now, stop right there. You've coordinated and proctored 105 exams. Does that mean that you've coordinated with the teachers and the students to set a time for the exam, and then they come into your office and take the exam, or you go to a classroom and take the exam, and you're there with them while they're taking the exam?
Pretty much, yes. So the way it works is a student will put in an exam request to me through an online link that I give to all of my students. It goes into a spreadsheet for me. I then contact the faculty. I ask for a copy of the exam. I ask for any special instructions that they might need. Then I check to make sure that I have space either in our test room or in a conference room, or if I need to, I'll reserve a classroom. And then I coordinate those. So I'm coming in at pretty much all kinds of times and hours. But now that we're moving into midterms, it's really beginning to pick up. So just in terms of, you know, through the rest of October, I'm looking at probably at least another 100, 110 maybe exams.
That's a lot of time. That's a lot of time on the books.
Yes, it is. And I'm not an hourly employee, so it's just a lot of time.
Right, so that's a lot of coordination for you to make sure that you're not overworking and that you're booking it at the right time, but that you're really giving proper accommodations to the students. So you probably go above and beyond the call sometimes.
I just like to think that I'm committed to doing my job well. And part of that is I also have to know what are the specific needs of the student. So there's a specific technique that some students use called sub-vocalizing. And essentially what that means is for them to be able to understand the questions on an exam, they have to read the questions out loud to themselves. So that they're getting both the visual input from what they're seeing on the page, but they're also auditorily taking in the information so that they can better process what the actual question is. Yeah, obviously, in those situations, I can't put a person who sub-vocalizes in a room with another student who doesn't, because that's going to be incredibly distracting for both of them.
So
I need to know about the kind of accommodation and what the actual environment that the student needs to make sure that I have enough space. This week, it's been kind of I've been kind of lucky in the fact that two of my colleagues in the office are out, and so I've been able to use their offices as private test rooms. And not have any problems with a student sub-vocalizes needing to be in a room with another person.
That's great. So sometimes you do have multiple students doing different kind of tests in one area, and if you've got someone who needs that other quiet room where they're sub-vocalizing, you make an accommodation separately for that.
Correct.
Interesting. That's an interesting little thing that I didn't know, that some people need to do sub-vocalizing to hear the information out loud. One of the things that I do is when I'm studying for my test, because here I am at the radio, I do a lot of recording, I record my voice telling me the notes. And then I plug it into my ear and I walk around the house with my voice describing the notes and the verbal flashcards. So that's an interesting little technique.
Yeah, I mean, what that typically is indicative of is an individual who needs to auditorily process, but at the same time, as a kinesthetic learner, needs to walk around and have movement as opposed to just sitting down at a desk and reading in silence. And I think that what's really kind of fascinating in terms of my own experience working with the last 15 years in higher ed has been finding that a lot of techniques that I work with students on are first to learn about what their own learning style is, and then how to capitalize on that learning style in terms of how they study, how they take tests, how they, you know, interact in the classroom. But the reality is, you don't have to have a diagnosis to have a specific or unique learning style. And I think that too often we don't allow ourselves to really study the way we need to, and instead try and fit into this, you know, single modality normative way of you have to study in the feeling way you study and you cram for 3 hours and that's just how it works.
I'm glad you said that.
Can't do that.
I'm so glad you said it that way, because I was going, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you is are there any hints for the rest of the semester, for anyone, for people with disabilities or people without disabilities? And I think what you're saying is that if everyone, no matter who you are, can somehow define what your learning style is, no matter where you are on the spectrum, that will make a difference to your ability to take in information and to get through your classes.
Exactly. So here's one little example that I can give that I think every student really needs to take in and take to heart.
Great.
Cramming for exams does not work. It does not work. And here's the reason why. There's a very, very clear reason why the average sitcom on television shows is only 20 to 23 minutes long. Mm. And the reason for that is that's the average attention span of the human brain. Once you sort of move beyond that, it's sort of like empty calories. You're not really getting anything back from it. And you can try and study for 4 hours at a stretch and think, oh yeah, I covered everything, but your ability to recall that information later is really, really impaired. So I tell students a really good formula in terms of how you study is try and sit down or however it is that you need to study and study for about 25 minutes. Then get up, actually move around a little bit and take a 5-minute break, come back, do another 25 minutes, then take another 5-minute break. If you end up doing a third 25-minute block, then after that, take a 15-minute break, and this time do something really changing your physical sensation. So drink something really cold or something hot. Go outside, walk around, you know, your house or your apartment or your residence hall. Do something that actually gets your mind less focused on the intellect and more focused on the physicality of your action. And what that does is actually causes a reset in your brain so that you can begin to take in more information and create new memories again. But what I see instead is I see students sitting, you know, up in the library for 4 hours straight trying to read through their chemistry books and going over their notes and then wondering why it's so difficult when it comes time for the test that they can't remember it all.
Right.
And the reality is they're not really thinking about their own physiology, the human physiology, which doesn't really allow you to have sustained attention much longer than that, but also the way in which the human mind creates memory. And I think that if more students use that as their sort of process or their pattern of study, I think they would be doing so much better on exams and spending much less time needlessly trying to cram for an exam that is not going to help them in terms of the process.
Right. It's like pouring too much water on a sponge, there comes a point where there's no room for the water to go into the sponge.
Pretty much.
Okay, so study for 20 minutes, take a break. Study for 20 minutes, take a break. If you study for more than 3 20-minute blocks, take a bigger break and move your body. So connect your body to your brain and disconnect yourself from that activity. And when you were talking about that, I thought, I love the word recess. Take a recess, play in between.
And I think that's exactly right. Take a recess, take some time for yourself. And the other thing I tell students is, don't feel guilty about wanting to have a little time down. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have a favorite television show that you watch, put it on your calendar the same way you have your class schedule on your calendar.
Yes.
Give it to yourself that you are just as important as going to class and those things. Because the vast majority of time that students, when they don't do that, when they don't give themselves some play time, some recess time, some me time, if you will, they end up becoming really resentful of the class. They become really resentful of the material. And then they're even less likely to actually engage in it and to review it or go over it. And it becomes a sort of little vicious cycle. They sneak away to go see a movie or hang out with friends, and then they feel really badly because they have, and they didn't get as much stuff done as they wanted. So then they're like, well, it's too late now to actually start reading that chapter. I might as well just hang out some more. If they're actually wanting to be good to themselves, they'll give themselves just as much priority for some downtime and for some recess, which is going to make them a better student, and it's going to make them more effective when they actually do go to study. And they're going to be a little less grouchy, probably, because they actually get to do some things they enjoy during the week, as opposed to constantly feeling like they're at the beck and call of a faculty member or their major.
And it will prepare them for life out in the real world, because they'll have that ability to work, rest, and really enjoy their job more, so they're not intently in their job as well. Okay, so what I hear you saying is work, rest, have some recess, plan your time off like you plan your studies, balance it out. I want to ask you a question. Can you and I, and whoever else might be in this, stirring the pot, can we put together a workshop that for students at Dominican about learning your learning styles?
Sure, and actually, our office does a number of workshops that help with like test-taking strategies and research strategies, those kind of things.
And is that for is that for anyone, including people who are signed up in the disabilities office?
It's open for all students and completely free. Also, if students know about the Get Geek On contest that's happening on campus, any of our workshops, even if you do our online workshops, are eligible to meet your 5 workshop criteria that you need for the Get Your Geek On challenge, as well as there's a number of really great upcoming workshops in the rest of the month at the library on how to use ArtStore and how to do RepWorks. All those qualify towards the Get Your Geek On challenge. I believe that Career Services is going to be doing an interviewing skill workshop soon. That would also qualify. And I know that Katie Bell, the director of the GEO Center, the Global Education Office, will be doing a few more study abroad sort of informational meetings and workshops. All of those qualify towards the 5 needed workshops you should attend during the fall semester. And in addition to that, you also need at least a 3.0 GPA. But yeah, we could definitely work on putting together a workshop. In fact, working with one of my colleagues, Christina Jimenez, who is the first year advisor for undeclared students, she does her own class called Vision Quest, in which she helps students sort of dig through and sort of unpack what it is about them that influences how they learn or not learn. And so I think we could definitely find some time to be able to put together a workshop like that.
I think that would be great. I have found it very valuable to know my learning style, and it's helped me throughout the years. And I think that all of these seminars and all of these workshops are so valuable, and I'm glad that you're talking about them, and I want to talk more about them, and I'm hoping that we can get more promotionals on the air here at radio.dominican.edu. And upcoming in about 2 minutes, let's wrap our session up, and then I'm going to ask you to stay on with me and come back. But we have a promo for the interview skills workshop coming up. So you'll get to listen to that. We'll take a little break together. And so why don't we go to a music break right now? I'm going to put you on hold, and you're just going to hang out there quietly, and you'll get to listen to the music and the promo, and then I'll come back on and get you, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, we'll be right back, everyone. This is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni at radio.dominican.edu.
Are you looking to brush up your interview skills or learn how to use Skype as an interview tool? Well then, Dominican University of California's Career and Internship Services Department has a program for you. They're putting on an interviewing skills and Skype workshop. It's coming up Wednesday, October 16th, 4:30 p.m. in Guzman Hall. At this workshop, you can learn various techniques and meet a Skype interviewing expert to ace that interview. Whether you're a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, you can always use a brush up on interviewing skills. Remember, Wednesday, October 16th, 4:30 p.m., Guzman Hall. For more information or to reserve a space, call 415-485-3235. That's 415-485-3235. You can also look it all up on the internet at Dominican University of California Campus Life Career Services. You're listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. If you want to catch up with me between shows, I always love hearing from you and finding out what's going on in your life and what's important to you. So, drop me a note at Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on Facebook. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm here in the studio on the telephone with Todd Harriet of our Disability Services Department here at Dominican University. And we were just talking about some study hints for anyone, whether you have a disability or whether you don't, or whether you have a temporary disability or you don't. We were talking about things that you can do to help yourself. One of those is to take frequent breaks and have a recess when you're doing your studying, and to actually play into your schedule as you would place study into your schedule, so that you have some time set aside for yourself. And then we were also talking about upcoming workshops. You just heard one, a promo for the interview skills. So Todd, tell us about some upcoming workshops that you're really looking forward to and maybe some dates and what they have to offer.
Well, I'm hoping to actually get a workshop scheduled here fairly soon, but it's actually going to be for students that are registered with my office, which talks about the transition from college into the workforce and what are the rights and responsibilities that you have in the ADA as an employee as opposed to as a student.
Oh, that's going to be great.
And I typically try and focus that on for juniors and seniors, and I'm going to be partnering with the Career Education Office for that workshop, and we're looking at probably later on in November for that. And the reason that I partner with Career Services on it is that I really want students to be aware of what's available to them if they're looking for additional assistance with resume building or interview skills. And students who work with me also have to think about, well, when do I disclose or do I disclose that I have a diagnosis to anyone?
Okay, wait, so, hang on. Stop there for a second. What I think you just said was that students, people, would learn if it is a legal issue whether they have to reveal if they have a disability or not, or if there's a moral issue or just a personal emotional issue, how it gets laid out.
Correct.
Interesting. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a tidbit?
Sure. So what I oftentimes will tell students is that if you have what is referred to as an invisible disability, in other words, if I met you and didn't know anything else about you, purely on sight, I would have no idea that you had a diagnosis. If you have an invisible disability, then there's no reason for you to disclose prior to being given the job offer and accepting. And the reason for that is that it's illegal for a company to discriminate against a person on the basis of having a diagnosis. However, they can be a little sneaky about it and not necessarily point to, oh, it wasn't that wasn't the reason why we didn't hire you, it was X, Y, or Z. And what comes out of that is if you disclose early on or too early, you could be setting yourself up for someone to not want to hire you because they're not sure what it would mean to have a student with or a person with a disability in their offices. So I work with students about what's an appropriate way to approach this. When do you know or need to know if you need an accommodation? And if you do need an accommodation, what does that end up looking like?
Right.
And I give them a lot of great resources. There's a couple different sites online that provide some wonderful information about different kinds of accommodations that would be appropriate in different types of office settings, as well as how to actually word an accommodation request to your boss. And so part of it is there's just something we don't normally talk about very much. We oftentimes will just sort of gloss over it and think, oh, you'll be fine, you'll figure it out on your own. I would much rather that students go out into the workforce feeling prepared and knowing how to advocate for themselves in a way that's both respectful but also professional.
That's great. Well, thank you for giving us that little tidbit. And everyone listening, if you're signed up for the disabilities department, with the disabilities department, this workshop is going to be for you, and you're going to get an in-depth view on how this all works and some wording to use, and there'll probably be some role playing in it, and just getting strategies to get out there in the workforce, when to disclose, when not to disclose, what's legal or not. And this workshop is going to be coming up in November, and I promise you all, the minute that the information comes out, I'm going to have Todd bring it here to the radio station so all of our DJs can announce it so everyone can know about it. And then the interview skills workshop, that sounds like that's a for everybody workshop. Is that correct?
It definitely is.
Great. And are you going to be at that workshop?
I'm not sure if I'll be at the interview workshop. It's possible, but I have to kind of check my calendar. First and foremost, priority has to be making sure that I'm taking care of the students that I work with.
Absolutely, and getting all those tests proctored. So,
yes.
So if you run into Todd on campus, you can check in with him about the upcoming workshops. If you feel like you might have something going on that you need some help with, go over and talk with Todd. He's in Bertrand. What's your room number in Bertrand again?
We're in Bertrand 109.
Bertrand 109. Go in and just have a conversation, because he'll help you get on a path, and he'll be able to say, yeah, you need to work, you know, let's get you over here on this area, or hey, try this over here. He's got really good diagnostic skills on how to move you through whatever system you need, and he can also point you in directions where you can learn about your learning style so that you know how to best utilize your own skills for your educational needs. So, Todd, thank you very much for coming on the radio and talking about your department and talking about what you do. Clearly, you love what you do, and you love all of your students.
The students are the number one reason why I'm even in this profession. It's certainly not because of salary.
And thank you for your altruistic view and for the way that you treat people and your vision and your goals. And like I said before, I really believe that Dominican is lucky to have you. And I would look forward to having you back on the air. And I want to hear about all of the workshops so we can tell everyone about them all the time.
Sounds good.
All right, Todd, I'm going to let you hang up and I'm going to jump back on the air with everyone. I'll check in with you in later this afternoon, or leave you a message, and we could just debrief on our conversation. But it was just a delight to talk with you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, we'll
have
talk soon. Thank you. We'll talk soon. Okay, everyone. Well, that was Todd Harriet of Disability Services. That was just very elucidating and interesting to me how the whole system works. And you'd get a diagnosis for a disability through your medical physician, and then you can go to disability offices and have Todd talk to you about what it means and how you can get what you need to make sure that you get the education that you need. And if you don't have a disability or you have a temporary disability, there's still things that you can learn about your learning style to help you be the best student that you can be. And one of the great things about Dominican is that every student matters. And everyone has a chance to be taken care of and looked at as a whole person. And I'm just grateful that we have so many great and skilled people on staff here, faculty and professors, instructors, adjuncts, etc. So it is great. So thank you again, Todd at Disability Services. Okay, well, here we are. It's, wow, we've already in the 3 o'clock hour here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. What I have going forward for the rest of the show is just some kind of fun trivia. I thought we could make it a light day after our wonderful, great, intense interview. Just make it a light day and throw out some trivia for you. So I'm going to start with a little piece of trivia after we come back from a little bit of a break. And let's see what I'm going to talk about so I can give you a little heads up. How about, let's talk about cookie trivia. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back.
I was kissing Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream.
Welcome back. This is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here at radio.dominican.edu. And as promised, I have a little bit of trivia about cookies. Yummy. This whole trivia section now that we're going to go through, the little bits that I'm going to lay on you, is actually from my car mechanics company. They send me a newsletter every month, and they have all these little trivia tidbits in it. And then, of course, they have their coupons and advertisements about getting your car done. And it's just a fun little piece, and I love reading it. And I thought, oh, let me bring that to the radio station and tell people about it. So this piece is about cookies. And what they're talking about is that cookies actually have a very long history, but the very first cookies really didn't taste very much like the cookie treats that we enjoy today. So what they're saying is that, according to some sources, the first cookies, the very first cookies, were made in Rome around the 3rd century BC. And they were thin, hard, bland wafers that were twice baked, and the Romans ate them by dipping them in wine. Now, when I read that little piece, I thought, oh, that sounds like in the Catholic religion, when you go up for communion, you have the wine and the cracker, the body of Christ, the little, I don't know what the name of it is, but anyway, it was, that's what it reminded me of, is taking communion. So that was interesting. But, and then it says, though, that modern cookies may have originated in Persia during the 7th century, and that's when sugar became more common in that particular region, and then they just became more popular and popular, and then even more popular across Europe in the 14th century, and they were enjoyed by everyone, royalty, peasants, across the board, cookies were enjoyed. So now the appeal, here's the interesting thing for me, the appeal of cookies was that they traveled well in tins and boxes, so it made them a reliable source of food on trips. And I think that that's important because there, you know, in those days, there wasn't refrigeration, and the preservatives that we have in our food today were not around. So they had to think of ways to make foods that would last a long enough time in a house or on the road. So I think that's interesting. And I remember as a kid collecting tins from cookies. So that's where tins came from too. And then here's a little language thing, and I like language things. The word cookie comes from a Dutch word that sounds like cookie. It's spelled K-O-E-K-J-E, and it means little cake. So it's a tiny little cake, a cookie. And then, of course, America came on board in about the 17th century, and the cookies arrived in the form of macaroons, gingerbread cookies, and something called a jumble. I don't think I've ever heard of a jumble, but it's a hard cookie that had nuts and sweeteners and water in it. So it's a jumble, right? But of course, the cookies we're most familiar with today have added creaming butter and sugar. And those kind of cookies became common in the 18th century. So that's a little bit of history and trivia about cookies. What are your favorite cookies? Do you have a favorite cookie? I'm not a big cookie and dessert eater myself, but I do have favorite cookies. And I think just off the top of my head right now, my favorites, that if I was going to say a brand, it's called Lorna Doones, and it's just a plain butter cookie, and oh, are those good? But I'll tell you, if you put any cookie in front of me, I would gobble it up in a second. I'm not a discerning cookie eater. I will eat any cookie. Anyway, think about the kind of cookies that you would like, and just know that cookies came by way of Rome and Persia, and then across Europe, and then the Dutch word for cookie came into being, and then they came across the pond, so to speak, to America, and they started adding new ingredients, and now we have cookies as we see them today. Okay, that's an interesting little piece of trivia. Let's see what we have here. Shall we do another piece? Let's do another piece of trivia, and then we'll take a break after that. And just in case you're noticing, the music list today is all 80s. A friend of mine is in town who grew up in the 80s, and I thought I would play this music list for her. So let's find out if there's one other piece of trivia that we can... Okay. Hey, let's do a food thing. Since we were on cookies, let's do a food thing. So recently in California, there was an outbreak of E. coli in Foster Farms chicken. And it was mostly because the chicken was undercooked or handled improperly. And E. coli is bad. It's deadly. And it was very problematic, but they're working on cleaning it up and getting it out of the way. And there was no recall on the Foster Farms chicken, but they were voluntary returns if you wanted to return it to stores that you got it at. But here's a little interesting thing. This piece of trivia asks the question, what's in your pocketbook? And they say that a study by researchers at the University of Arizona tested 50 purses. This is the bag that a woman would carry, or, you know, a man would carry a backpack purse. And they tested 50 purses for harmful bacteria and discovered that 1 in 4 handbags was contaminated with E. coli. And this is the bacteria that's found in human and animal waste. And there's where the problem can come in. So if the animal waste is still on the chicken or piece of meat and it isn't cooked at the high temperature that it needs to be cooked at, or isn't washed properly, it isn't handled properly, if it's put on the counter and then the counter isn't washed, that produces the E. coli there, or the E. coli spreads. And so, and many of the purses were carrying other bacteria as well, staph and salmonella. Wow. And so what researchers are advising are using a disinfectant wipe daily on your purse. And when in public spaces such as restrooms, they suggest hanging your bag rather than placing it on the floor. And for me, that one's a no-brainer. I wouldn't put my purse on the floor. So that's just a little interesting thing. Fascinating. So be careful out there. Wash your hands a lot and make sure when you're handling chicken to wash it thoroughly and clean your counters thoroughly and cook your food thoroughly. There you go. There's some trivia for now. Let's take a little music break. I'll come back with more trivia. Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu.
Bye. students.
It's getting close to that time of year where we'll once again be offering flu shots for your health. Flu clinic dates are October the 15th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Creekside, October 24th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and November the 5th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Nurses Assessments Lab. We may schedule additional clinics or take individual appointments after November the 5th. For current Kaiser members, bring your Kaiser card and it's free. For all others, the cost is $20, cash or check. Nursing and OT students, we will give you proof of receiving the vaccine for your clinicals. This public service announcement has been brought to you by Student Health Center, Dominican University of California. For questions, please call 415-485-3208. Once again, Student Health Center, 415-485-3208. Stay well.
Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Finding your voice with DJ Noni.
Okay, let's look at some trivia for Halloween. So let's find out if you have any skeletons in your closet. This is a piece of language trivia. And it turns out that hundreds of years ago, when physicians in England wanted to learn about the human body, it was not easy. There were too many regulations. So doctors were typically only allowed to dissect one body over the course of their education. Once the dissection had been finished, then the doctors were reluctant to relinquish their prized skeletons. So they were hoarding the skeletons of the cadavers that they were studying. But it wasn't socially acceptable to keep the skeletons. And this was according to Webb Garrison in Why You Say It, published by Grant Press. He was saying that consequently, because they were keeping the skeleton bones, they often hid them in the dark corner of a closet in secret where they wouldn't be discovered easily. And eventually, the phrase, skeletons in your closet, came to mean that it was hidden evidence of any kind. So they were only allowed to dissect one body, and they didn't want to give it up, so they hid the bones in the closet, and that's where the phrase skeletons in your closet came from, and then it became just a wider usage across the board. I always think it's very interesting where words and phrases come from. I have a chicken coop at my home, and my husband and I often laugh at how many phrases come from keeping chickens all cooped up, right? If the chickens are locked in the coop for a long time, they're all cooped up and they're happy to get out. Or all your eggs in one basket, right? If you put all your eggs in one basket and you drop the basket, they all crack and you're up a creek. And, oh, up a creek without a paddle, right? You can't get back down the creek. So there's a whole other set of language trivia. So I think that those kind of things are very interesting. So skeletons, ooh, scary Halloween. So let's talk about scary Halloween. Halloween is coming up, October 31st coming up. Everyone's going to dress in their costumes, and I've been watching commercials on television for scary Six Flags and scary this and scary that. And the question becomes, why do people seem to take delight in being scared? What's the appeal? What is the appeal of ghost stories, horror movies, frightening novels, and things that go bump in the night? Okay. Here are a few theories. I'll list them out and then we'll go over them. There are three items. One, we like the adrenaline. Two, shared fear helps us bond. And three, horror helps us deal with real life terrors. Okay, let's break them down. Adrenaline. So fear has about the same adrenaline producing effect as excitement. It feels good. And scary movies, stories, and books are methods of releasing adrenaline in a controlled environment. And this piece reminds me of the movie Monsters, Inc. And so the monsters work for this energy company, and how they made energy was they got the frightened screams of children, and they put that through their energy model and, you know, turned on lights with it. Well, they ended up, this little girl that fell in love with the monsters, they ended up making her laugh, and it turned out that her laugh produced even more energy. So I think that that's a little interesting thing, that fear and excitement have that dual role in your life, creating adrenaline. So that's the first one. And the second one is shared fear helps us bond. And what they're saying is that the creeps create social bonding. Activities like telling ghost stories around a campfire or watching a scary movie together allow us to form ties with strangers as well as family and friends. Interesting, right? You go on a camping trip, you're around the fire and you're with all your friends and you're like, tell a scary story, and it's dark and you can hear the crickets out and maybe you can hear a dog or a coyote howling in the background, and it, you know, your back of your neck, the hackles get up, but you're with your group of friends and it's this shared experience, right? Fascinating to me. Yeah, I'm not a big scary movie person or scary story person, but I did go, my friend who's in town, who I made this 80s playlist for, she and I went years and years and years ago to see the movie Aliens, and we were just freak out, frightened, crazy screaming at the movie, but we laugh like crazy now because it was a shared experience. So that was our little bonding moment, one of our bonding moments. Okay, and the last thing, that how horror helps us deal with real life terrors. This is interesting to me. It's so interesting to me. And what they're saying is that we can deal with the very real horrors of modern times by transforming them into fictional movies and stories where the monsters and the bad guys are always caught and punished. So in real life, the bad guys and monsters are not always caught and punished. And I can think of, you know, 10 things right off the top of my head where that goes on. Sometimes they are, and we feel good about it. But having these controlled storytelling vehicles where we can feel the fear but then have it resolve helps us to deal with it when it comes in the real world. And here are a couple real world things. The first thing that comes to mind is that we did get resolution when Osama bin Laden was captured and killed. He and his group of cronies terrorized the world. And when he was captured and killed, I think that resolution was very helpful to many people. And I have a lot of feelings about, you know, killing and everything like that. That's a conversation for another day. But then there's a story close to home. There was a group of murders years and years ago committed by a gentleman who was just on trial, and they're convicting him at the moment. And one of the things that is happening is they're fighting over whether he's going to get the death penalty sentence or not. And because California is one of those states who vacillates back and forth on death penalty, and the rulings right now are that they're suspending the death penalty. The relatives of the young women who were killed are feeling very hopeless because they're not going to get resolution to this, who they consider a monster who killed their relative, getting his due justice. And so that's interesting that going to horror movies and experiencing, you know, fearful stories and campfire stories help us deal with the very real stories in life where terror and horror happen, sometimes resolved and sometimes not, but it helps us deal with it. So I think that that's very interesting, all fascinating. And here we are coming up on Halloween, where we dress up as scary characters and we don an alter ego, sometimes silly and funny and sexy, sometimes scary and bloody and gory. And it helps us to work out some of our internal emotions on that day of the year, among other things, among collecting candy and eating our kids' candy and trading candy with all our friends and everything. So that's a little bit of scary Halloween information. Skeletons in your closet and dealing with adrenaline, shared fear, and horror helping deal with real-life fears and terrors. Well, we've got a little while left in the show. I have a little bit more trivia for you. I've got a few more songs. I've got Heart playing in the background right here, Barracuda, one of my faves from the 80s. So let's listen to the rest of Barracuda, and then I'll come back on. We'll do a little trivia, and then we'll do a little bit of a wrap-up. So it's great to be with you here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni on radio.dominican.edu. Okay, welcome back. This is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. Got a few last little trivia tidbits. So earlier we were talking with Todd Harriet of Disability Services, and one of the things that he was saying that he shares with his students and constituents, and that's a good hint for anyone out there in school and work, is to work/study and then rest. Do your working and studying and then rest. Work, study, rest. In 20-minute, 10-minute increments. 20 minutes study, 10 minutes rest. 20 minutes study, 10 minutes rest. And then if you do more than 3 20-minute sessions of working or studying, then take a longer rest or a recess. And coupled with that is to plan your play as you would plan your study so that you have that planned recess. That's important. And that's going to carry you both through your school career, but also it will help you in your job career later. And that feeds into our next piece of trivia, which is succeeding on the job by helping your coworkers. And I think that this is a very interesting little piece. So the 4 points that are made are this. So this is about helping your coworkers. Number one, be ready to assist. Number two, follow through. Number three, treat colleagues like customers. Number four, be confident, not cocky. Interesting points. So what they're saying is that staying on good terms with your boss is key. It's key to success in any job that you have. And don't just neglect your coworkers. They also have the power to help you get ahead. So you have to stay connected to your boss, but you also have to stay connected to your coworkers. And in doing this, it will help you make your life good at work, not miserable at work. So being ready to assist means you don't say something like, that's not my job, right? You wouldn't say it to your boss, so you don't want to say it to your colleagues either. So you want to show willingness to pitch in and to help wherever and whenever you can. And that helps you build a relationship, and it helps them want to help you in the future. So there's a lot of give and take there. Then there's follow-through. Follow-through is really difficult because that means that you have to be a little organized and you have to keep track of things, but it's really key. You have to fully complete what you've promised to complete. And what happens when you do that is you let your coworkers know that they can depend on you. So if you say what you're going to do, do what you say and get it done, and sometimes deliver even more. That'll make a difference in building your relationships. Number three, treat your colleagues like customers. This is interesting. It's interesting to think about your colleague as a customer. So what you're going to do is if they come to you with a request or a requirement, take them seriously. Go that extra few steps to make them pleased with your work and how you interacted. And in my case, I like to make things easy for people. So if I want someone to write a letter of recommendation for me, or if I want someone to help me write a report, I will make sure to give them an outline or a rough draft or at least a list of information to help them get started so they don't have to start from scratch. Make it easy for your colleagues and treat them like customers. And they'll notice this. They'll notice your commitment to helping them and the organization succeed. And then the last one is be confident, not cocky. And this is such a fine line, such a fine line. How do you share your expertise without bragging about it? How do you let someone know that you know about something without saying, well, I know it all? And that's rough, so you have to be careful about it. And what you want to do is just be quietly humble and just offer. You can say, you know, I have some information about that if you'd be interested. And if they say no, then let it go. But if they say yes, then share it with them. But don't just go barging in and you know, spit it all over them. And this is a part of being confident, not cocky, and that is don't be afraid to make mistakes and admit that you made mistakes. It's important to be able to just go, oh, wow, boy, that was a foot and mouth situation. I got to redo that, you know, do over. And I think that's a good relationship builder. So that's some ways to succeed on the job, helping your coworkers. Yeah, yeah. And I just think that it's good to build relationships across the board. So I'm glad that that little piece of trivia was there for us. Well, I have one last piece of trivia, and I also want to just remind us what our angel card was and our power thought card was for today. Angel card was creativity, and power thought card was creating our own reality. And we get to be creative in everything that we do, and we get to create our own reality as we walk through life, and we get to ask for help wherever we need to. In life, in school, in business. And as I was talking earlier about what I'm grateful for, I was talking about being grateful for the men in my life. And I just want to say that men are good, and I'm grateful for my husband, my father, my brother, my work colleagues. I'm grateful for Todd Harriet. He's a great man in my life. I love that I can go to him and say, hey, can I run this by you? And it feels good to have a good circle of people in my life, and I hope that you have good, great men in your life as well, as I mentioned earlier today. So this last piece of trivia goes along with that, and that is what a father's role is in these days and times. And the question is, what is a good father's main job? And what they're saying is that, and this is the Pew Research Center, is saying that the days of simply supporting his family financially may be over. And when a telephone survey was done and the question was asked, what's extremely important for a father to provide, here are the findings. Number one, values and morals are what people are looking for in a father's role. 58% of people want values and morals given by the father. Emotional support, wow, that racked up there. 52% emotional support from fathers. That's a great vote of confidence right there. Discipline number 3 at 47%, and then income was last at 41%. Now, these are still high numbers, but isn't that interesting that income was not the first thing, but it was values and morals? So in order, it was values and morals, emotional support, discipline, and income. And here's the little interesting piece, is these results follow a similar trend for mothers. And again, values and morals coming in at the top and income coming last. So I think that that's interesting that the mothers and fathers' roles are matching and that fathers' roles have been elevated from just simply income to encompass all of the roles that they may have. So men are good, women are good, we've got lots of great people in our lives, and if we can all share good values and morals together and think positively and empower ourselves to do better in our lives, whether it's studying or working, it would all be good. It would all be very good. All right. Well, let's listen to this very last of Talking Heads' Psycho Killer, our last of the 80s, and then we've got one more 80s song, and then we'll wrap it up. So here is the rest of the Talking Heads, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu. The following is a public service announcement. Saturday, October 12th, is a community service day here at Dominican University of California. As part of Community Service Day, Dominican University of California students Sarah Purcell and Nicholas Garcia are conducting a Trash Awareness Day. All day on Saturday, October 12th, wherever you are, and especially on campus, please find a piece of trash and dispose of it in the proper bin. Small efforts make a big difference. Participate in Dominican University's Community Service Trash Awareness Day on Saturday, October 12th.
Finding your voice is DJ Noni.
That wraps it up for this week's edition of Finding Your Voice. I hope that within today's show, you heard something that has helped or inspired you. These messages are meant for you to take in and use in your life. Let them into your heart and soul for encouragement and empowerment. And as always, feel free to toss what doesn't work and use what you like the best. Remember that no matter where you are on the journey of life, you can
stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together.
This is DJ Noni, encouraging you to reach your highest potential. Life, we can do this thing. Thanks for tuning in to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. Have a great week, and I'll be back next Friday, 2 to 4 p.m., right here on radio.dominican.edu.
We can break it. It's